Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 each and every one that may or may not be listening. Today is a beautiful day because we were given the gift of breathing, the gift of being part of this crazy-ass thing we call life, and more importantly, being able to enjoy what many other species or perhaps maybe even rocks don't understand, which is love, you know, to be able to tell someone you love them or that they could tell you they love you. And what is going on? I have no idea. It's being repeated to us. I get it, Ali. We're going live and it's saying it back to us. This is happening. I was like, why can't I hear myself in the background? This is all making sense. Technology for you, you know. The one thing about technology is that, you know, it can surpass your own personal intelligence. So you've always gotta get your shit together and make sure that you got all your buttons turned off and that everything's happening right, right? I mean, are you sitting here next to me? Are you sure? Who are you?
Hey there, Mom. It's Alex. How are you doing?
I'm very fantastic. How are you?
That's good. I'm good.
You're just good? That's it?
Yeah.
Are you ready for Valentine's Day?
Definitely, yep. No.
So did you go shopping for a Valentine's Day gift or anything like that? Do you want to talk to about this at all?
That's unnecessary to talk about. Yeah.
Yeah, because he doesn't want to talk about this because he doesn't have a girlfriend.
All right, Mom. Can we just change
fine.
The subject?
I'm not going to say anything.
Oh, by the way, happy birthday to Gabe. You listening?
Happy birthday, Gabe. Oh, my God, Gabe, we miss you. What I was going to say is that he doesn't have a girlfriend, but he
buy
a present, a gift for somebody, which I'm still trying to figure out. If you don't have a girlfriend, why do you have to go buy a gift to somebody, for somebody, you know? But whatever. Gabe, you need to call your friend and give him some advice. And ever since you left, Gabe, things have changed tremendously for us. So you need to come visit us pretty soon. We hope you're enjoying the cold weather over there where you're at. Where is he at, in Ohio?
Yeah.
In Ohio, dang. Anyhow, now that we got over this technology little hump that happened here, which was kind of creepy when you hear your voice playback, isn't it creepy?
Yeah, I can never listen to my podcast. I just hate the sound of my voice.
And see, I love to listen to our podcast. I think it's awesome. I always take notes, like if I didn't, it wasn't me saying it.
I
really need to take that girl's advice. And then I'm like, damn it, that's me. I don't take my own damn advice. I think that's just the nature of life, you know. It's a lot easier for me to give anyone advice than to actually do anything about it. What about you?
I guess that's true. But how can you talk about something if you don't practice it?
Right, that is true. We do practice it to an extent, but there's always the room for improvement where fall off the wagon or whatever. Overall, technically, we're really just speaking about our personal experiences, you know?
You know what, Mom? We have, like, really small attention spans. So we're just, like, jumping to, like, different topics to topics. So let's go back to the original one, yeah?
What's the original one, Alex? Because we never have an agenda here. See, what you guys don't understand is that 20 minutes before our show starts, we're still arguing about what the show needs to be about. And
or
I tell this
the
guy,
title.
The title, it's just a title. I mean, because we know the show is going to be about whatever the hell comes up. But the thing is that, you know, this guy over here decides that he's going to start challenging me on what I want the titles to be 20 seconds before the show starts. Like, who does that? Like, if you are not in agreement, then go, like, a week ago and tell me that there's a problem. I want you guys to all hear this. And the reason is because you need to understand that all of us go through our little, you know, struggles and challenges, and we try to find our way. But what's important is that we're using this as a platform to talk about the things that are passionate to us. Because we feel that there are people are out there that can relate to us, you know, that can relate to the things that we're seeing, we're experiencing, we're perceiving, so that perhaps together we can grow. Isn't that the only purpose?
Yeah, that's it.
So what have you been getting into? Because I know last week you were an energy vampire. I remember from our lesson. It was a day, and I know, I understand now you were going through some struggles in school in your algebra class. And
CPA.
And I'm very CPA, whatever, advanced, honors, algebra, whatever he wants to call it. But I'm very proud of your school and your counselor who reaches out and who actually cares about you. And then we actually came up with a really awesome solution. Not only that, but your tia Mayra, shout out to tia Yaya, we went out to visit her this weekend, and we had a really good talk about coming up with solutions, especially in algebra, in a different way than perhaps you're being taught, so that you know that you're an extremely intelligent person. It's just that perhaps the way they're teaching you to come up with a solution is not the best way for you. So I feel like you're much lighter today. Your energy is a lot better. Your hair is even flowing in the right places.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like it's luscious, but today it's like double luscious.
All right, Mom.
And I feel like you're pretty much, you got a good grasp on who this little guy is. I mean, what do you feel?
Yeah, I do.
I know you were talking about something really sad that happened, and my attention span talking about that is so short, and also I don't like to compare myself to others and stuff like that, and that hurts me sometimes. Like, I'll go to Facebook and Instagram and be like, well, why am I not doing that yet, or why am I not doing that? So I decided in the last week to take a break off of social media. I will post. I do post a lot of stuff, and I look at my notifications, but I actually don't scroll through the whole thing and read what's happening. So I've been completely out of the loop as to what's happening, and it's been really good for me because I was really sick, and I needed some time to just be by myself. You know, my medicine does not include any type of cough medicine or any type of medicine that I would induce into my body. My solutions have been, you know, getting a lot of sun, because I believe that the reason why we get sick is because in the wintertime we don't get as much sun as in the summer. I think that natural remedies, you know, they exist, like gargling water with salt or drinking onion boiled water to help you with the cough, stuff like that. I don't smell good. I can't tell you that I do, but I'm not taking the medicine to make me feel better. And then overall, I'm just trying to rest and sleep more and not try to push myself so much, because in the end, that's really what gets us sick. It's either you're stressed out or you got way too much shit going on in your life and you just need a break, you know? So that's what I've been doing. I've been really taking a break off. Now you come to me with these news about something that happened today, and I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, what are you talking about?
It wasn't today, 2 days ago, but I tried doing the same thing. I tried not going, like, finding the news and stuff, but it does leak out, I guess, and about this Chapel Hill shooting, how it was just this supposedly, according to CNN and, like, Fox News, apparently that over a parking dispute, this man shot two sisters and then one of their husbands, because they were Muslim and everything, and it's just pretty crazy, man. If you go on Fox News, and there's a terrorism column, and if you look at that, and it doesn't pop up there. But if, like, I think if you would have switched the scenario around, and if it was one Muslim guy and three white people, it would be on terrorism. And it's just that, like, our news media doesn't make a big deal or anything. They don't really touch it. If it was, again, in the opposite direction, I'm sure there'd be gun laws being popped out now, or just terrorism, or expand the war on ISIS, or just, like, crazy stuff like that. But instead, nope, it's this guy is he has caused terrorists. He's a terrorist. So, but they don't like to call it that.
He's an American guy?
Yes, he's just American, yeah.
Well, that's just the whole thing that you and I have talked about, the whole media. You know, the media sells you what is going to make news and what's going to cause fear in you, because then they'll know you keep coming back. If something makes you feel good, you're like, oh, that felt good, you know, but it doesn't really stir up anything in you as far as fear goes. You know, when somebody is in fear, then guess what? The mechanisms to control are a lot easier than when you're somebody who's happy and completely at their best.
I heard this recently that the media just wants us to be passive observers, because they just want us to be, they didn't talk much about this shooting, because obviously it was a Caucasian man that was the shooter, but they want us to be passive observers, because they love showing all this awful stuff that's going on, and just for us to get used to it instead of actually wanting to make something different out of it.
Wow, that's crazy, but that's a great thing that you have this platform to actually share that, where it does happen in both ways. The same, you know, I want to play devil's advocate, because at the same time, lately we've been seeing a lot of the black against Caucasian, war, you know, even in the Grammys, which I tried so hard not to watch all that stuff. And I got so involved because I was driving back with my brother from California, so I had time, you know. I was talking to him. But then I got all involved in the drama and all this stuff. But I saw that a lot of it, like at the end, Beyonce did this performance, I think with Common, and I don't know, I forget who, it was a big one. I think it's John Legend or somebody like that. But they basically lifted their hands up, you know, in a symbol as to saying, hey, and she sang this actually gospel song that really just portrayed the struggle still happening today between Caucasians and African Americans. And I looked at that and I thought, what is the truth here? Is it finally that we have people with good hearts that have made it into our mainstream media that are actually trying to change something? Or is this some kind of distraction to help us focus on separation once more so that we cannot really focus on the overall picture of the state of the world? I mean, I have this skeptic mind at times. I'm very optimistic, I consider myself, but there's also this skepticism inside of me that says, what is the real message here, and why is mainstream media even being used like that? I'll tell you something. Russell Simmons, believe it or not, do you know who that is?
Yeah.
Okay. So Russell Simmons.
Run DMC.
He's totally really transformed his life. He wrote a book on meditation. I can tell he's a yoga or addict. You know, he's a very different human being than what he was in his growing up years, right? And he has been at the forefront of a lot of these movements where African Americans are speaking out and they're saying, you know, this is still, you know, the slavery years. This is still the years of the civil rights acts movement where we're trying to get equality. Look at what's happening. But again, I don't understand where the media plays a role. Is this really the truth? Is this really what America is portrayed as? Do we really still have the separation? Because in my heart, I would never see an African-American differently than myself. And I hope to God, I don't think police officers see them that way. I don't think so. Or what is happening right now? What is really the message here? How can we prevent more African-Americans, not just African-Americans, but more people dying from police power? And how can we get more people to actually rise up and talk about the truth without being scared to die or be persecuted, you know?
I believe I already told my little, since like I was 13 years old, I was like in a phase of just like complete conspiracy theories and stuff. So I kind of still have that part in my mind. I kind of do think that the mainstream media is trying to bring up this race war, and it's more pretty like elaborate because the upper elite, they're encouraging all these police brutality events to get us more started up and get us more angry about that separated. Then that's when people start protesting the riots, and then that's when martial law comes in, and just they're using race and religion as a part of their tool to separate us and to take complete power over us.
Yeah, and that's what's scary.
Hopefully I'm wrong.
But I think the message at the Grammys is very clear, though. It was just like, well, we will not stand for this. But it shouldn't be like we don't stand for a black person dying, or we don't stand for what, you know, a specific race
in general,
because there's a lot of Hispanics that are killed by police officers that haven't hit the news. There's a lot of Caucasians that are killed by police officers that haven't hit the news.
There's a lot of police officers that have died in this.
Thank you. There's a lot. We have a friend that's a police officer, and we have even one of your brother's classmates when we were in school. I remember his father was killed, you know, through, and he was in police.
I've been seeing this hashtag going around, hashtags, whatever, but all lives matter, and that's probably a big thing that everyone should start focusing on more instead of keep on focusing on just one race in particular.
And thank you for taking that while I cough my lungs out. But yeah, you're right, and it starts with the story that you just said right now, too. You know, it's about seeing the other side. There was also this gentleman who was probably freaked out about, or who knows what's going on in his life, but also the stuff that we're being fed. And then who knows, his anger took him to a level and he saw people that perhaps were Muslims, and all of a sudden you have this picture in your head that these people are evil, and all of a sudden his head went crazy and people are dead. That's crazy.
Apparently, he posted something on Facebook that was something like, I'm obviously going to be butchering it. I wish I should have wrote it down. But anyways, that just, it's not, your religion, you should have stopped talking about it. You should have stopped forcing it. You're the one that caused this, dude. So it definitely had to do something with religion and stuff instead of what our news media likes to think, like over a parking issue.
Well, yeah, but what is the news media feeding you? You know, what are they saying about Muslims? What are they saying about that? Everyone's a human being. It's like almost categorizing and stereotyping people into one particular category and saying this is how all of them are. Whoever goes into that realm is complete. That's ignorance and stupidity, in my opinion. There is no other person, regardless of culture or anything. You cannot generalize. You can't even say Mexican people all look like spicy food, because that ain't the truth. You can't say that, you know, all African Americans go to jail, because that's not the truth. We have a president that's African American right now. You cannot say whatever the stereotypes are there. I don't want to keep adding on to them because I'm only going to add on to them. But, you know, that you cannot say. And I think when you start really seeing through the eyes of love and the eyes of acceptance and true acceptance, then you can see that every human being is exactly the same. You can learn from each and every one of them. I think I'm the most diversified Hispanic in the world, where I don't have one set of beliefs. And you, more than anyone, have taught me so much to be open-minded. You come to me with ideas, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm gonna kick his ass today. The stuff that he's telling me right now, that's it, you know. I'm done with him. He needs a good, and I've never in my life spanked you, which is unbelievable. But, you know, but then at the same time, like, Veronica, just stop and listen. Just stop and listen for a little bit. Perhaps your mind can be open. And if you don't agree with it, that's fine. But it doesn't have to get to violence. It doesn't have to get to any type of abuse. You know, just let it be. That's somebody else's belief. I'm just, you know, as a guide, like I told you last week, you know, as a parent, I'm guiding. I'm learning myself. So you could teach me and I could teach you. And I know I teach you so much every day. I mean, you're so blessed to have me.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
But, you know, it's just...
What about when other people's beliefs affect other people? Just like, because fundamental religion is like, it's messed up, man. It's messed up. Like, you people claim that they don't want to be like Islamophobia, but there's definitely some pretty wicked parts of religions, and inside their, what is it, the Quran?
Yeah.
It says some, it definitely, you could quote some awful things, but same with the Bible and same with everything else.
Everything.
I guess
man-made.
All of the religions have been that time period of complete terror and just like causing havoc, and I guess Islam is just at that time period right now. I don't know.
I don't know if they're at that time period. I think that's what people choose to focus on right now, because it's a great excuse in the end for either monetary purposes or power, right? And it's interesting that you bring this up, because it's perfect. It's a perfect segue to what I want to talk about today. You know, we always talk about the documentaries that we each watch, and this week I chose to watch one that completely shook my life. I saw it twice. And I cried every part of it, every single part of it, because it was something that I just, first of all, I couldn't believe that these things still happen in today's world. Second of all, I was very excited because there was, it wasn't so much of a bad ending. And the documentary that I'm talking about is about Girl Rising. And it's about these amazing stories of 10 girls. Documentaries, each of them were giving their own person to pretty much shadow them for a certain period of time to write their stories. And it talked about women in Cairo, Egypt, India, underdeveloped countries, you know, such as Afghanistan, and how education was the number one key in order to break the cycles of poverty, sexual abuse, just extreme cycles that we could change this world every single day, you know. Did you know that 500 million girls do not attend school every single year. 500 million girls. That's like insanity. Why? Because they're born into religious or into cultural beliefs where a woman is not as important. I mean, there was one story about a girl from India. So when her mother found out that she was a girl, they left her on the side of just on the side of the street because, you know, if in this particular country you are the bearer of sons, then all of a sudden you're like a celebrity. But if you have girls, you know, these girls are then turned into workers, and then they're sold later to husbands. So it was an astounding number. Like it was 14 million girls under the age of 18 will be married just this year. That's 14 million girls. Can you believe that, Alexander? Under the age of 18, and most of them in these underdeveloped countries, under the age of 13. You know, this little girl was sold to her husband, and they bought her brother a truck for that. And that was okay. And she was 12 years old. And she became a wife at 12 years old. And you know what's interesting about this documentary is that there's always this awesome story, like her story at the end. She left him and gave it all up. And she said, it doesn't matter if people kill me and I unveil my eyes, because she actually showed her eyes. You're not allowed to show your eyes or anything like that, because this mask will no longer hold my truth. And what she said was so powerful at the end. She said, if I die in my struggle, it does not matter, because there will be 20 other women right behind me that are ready to speak up and do something about it. My number one favorite story in this documentary was Wadley. Wadley was only 8 years old, and she's from Haiti. Wadley was going to school like a normal kid, huge imagination, and the documentary really portrays like the personality of each of the girls. And Wadley would go to school every single day. Well, one day war struck in her town, and from that day she was forced to live into the streets and the slums. Like literally, they went from a little cute house to like living over tarps on the street. And no longer did her dad have money because he didn't have a job, because the countries were at war. There's no economy. There's nothing really happening there. So in order for you to go to school, like your parents better have money, because not only do you have to pay for to go to school, you have to pay for your uniform. You got to pay for your school supplies. You got to pay for even taking tests. You got to pay for report cards and sanity. Wadley was 8 years old, and she was no longer allowed to go to school, and she didn't understand why not. She would pass by the same place where they were having school for the other kids. Most of them were boys. A couple of girls were in that little class, but it was held outdoors. And she thought, well, why can't I go to school, you know, an eight-year-old? Can you imagine this little mind? And she would say, why can't I go to school? And she would walk by the school, and she went and sat down in the classroom because it was outdoors. And the teacher told her, what are you doing here? Have your parents paid? And she said, no, my parents haven't paid, but I want to learn. You know, she craved it. She imagined it. She loved learning about the mathematics and everything. A curious little girl. And the teacher told her, get out of here. And so she had to leave. And then she went back. She did this three times. When finally the teacher was just like, oh, Wadley, what am I going to do with you? And she ended up letting her stay there. That little lady went from that to teaching other little ladies. And it was just a little eight-year-old who said, no, I know education is going to change my life. And she took the step. And it gives me a lot of appreciation for what we go through here and the things that are happening to these women in these underdeveloped countries. It's atrocious. When the return on investment on educating a woman is huge. If you educate a woman, you can stop 700,000 HIV cases every year just in Africa. 75% of the HIV cases in Africa are women, underage women. All why? Because they're treated as a commodity. They're not as important as a man. They still, in some countries, still believed in freaking slavery. Nepal, of all countries, they have this thing that's called the Karlami. So little women, little girls are sold for work since they're 3 years old. They showed the story of Samaya, who was living with the goats. She had to eat the scraps of them, and she would have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and work until 10 o'clock at night, and then still go and sleep with the goats and get the scraps that were left for them. Do you understand this?
No.
Do you understand the horrible pain? But all of these stories, thank God, the documentary showed all of them had a great ending. All of them fought hard. There was one that became a poet. There wasn't this one that was turned into slavery and was saved by other women from the village. It said slavery is illegal since 2000. How did slavery become illegal in 2000 in other countries here? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, this doesn't even make sense to me. This is just an overview of these stories of women that completely have overcome everything. And then to not even have women in leadership, where is our world going?
It's insane. We there's so much other Malalas out there. The world peace, the youngest world peace, and then just their stories. Oh man, I don't know.
And the sad thing is that the parents, they keep the girls at home. Sometimes it's because of money. There was another story about another woman in Egypt. You know, she was raped. She was only 12 years old, and then they took her to jail. And then the little girl, what she did to combat that was that she had this huge imagination, and she envisioned herself as a superhero. And she said, I saved myself, and I did this, and I did that. And then the guy never even went to jail. So not only do the parents have to worry about sending them to school, because guess what? Religion doesn't agree with the fact that women should become educated, according to their religions. I don't know what the hell that means. Then the second part is that, yeah, we're going to let them go out. And guess what? They're at risk that if I let them go to school from here to school, guess what's going to happen? They're going to get raped. They're going to get abused. They're going to get, who knows what's going to happen to them. So it's like they're at a loss, at a complete loss. And the impact that this is making on the world is incredible. If we could just really focus on this and help more women in underdeveloped countries become educated, we could break cycles like no other. The cycles of everything. And then we would have a more balanced world. But we have these powerful trips of people that just are so ego-driven. And I don't understand how a human being, a man, feels like he's more than a woman just because they're a man and a woman. That doesn't even make sense. And then it brings me back to, I'm so blessed to be here in this country. Wow. You know,
people would die for education over there, and we just don't want to go to school here.
Exactly. How many times do I struggle with you and Damien, or, you know, your brother? Damien, don't forget to turn in your homework, because we struggle like that. You know, Damien, don't forget to do this. Yesterday I told him to take his homework. Today he's like, I don't know what happened to him, Mom. You know, he's a very creative mind, which I support completely. But how many times have we really appreciated what we have in this world? And this is not a story to make you feel bad. It's a story for you to see how to take action.
Well, yeah. It hasn't always been like this, though. Like,
it's been worse.
And it's been better.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, no, it's getting better now, but Back in, like, the era of Isis, the goddess, females were the supreme human beings. They were so magical creatures because they give life, and they're just insane how much we treasured our females. But then, I might be butchering this, then we found out about the seed and agriculture and just planting stuff, and that's when the males and patriarchy and just
strength.
Praising a male goddess and just keep on thinking that they're the supreme ones. But now I really believe the era of patriarchy is over. We're definitely making progress. We're seeing all this, and we're molding it off, and the mold is just very painful. It's just definitely going to be tough to just rip it off. But we're in the process of doing that right now, and that's why we were aware of all this stuff that's happening, wearing that we can't stand with this to continue.
Yeah, you know, I get really emotional. I'm sorry. This movie really made me cry a lot. And I haven't even finished reading the statistics. But, you know, when I talk about Girl Rising, I don't talk about, I see a lot of feminist movements out there, a lot of movements where it's about the woman rising and blah, blah. It's not about the woman. I'm going to say this a million times. It's the archetypes that a woman carries. It's the archetypes, the femininity, and not women, I'm sorry, the femininity carries, which are caring, compassionate, taking care of your family, taking care of the earth, taking, you know, those, and the Isis age, like you said. These women all portray also a lot of masculine archetypes, the ones that came out of this, the ones that are now the poets, like the poet in Peru, the artist in India, the writer in Cairo, Egypt. You know, these women, obviously you have to have some masculine archetypes in you, of leadership, of being the change, you know, of not standing for anything that makes you have fear. But the problem is that our leadership today and in this world has none of that, has no compassion. It's about me and my own personal success and my own personal revenue and profit, and has nothing to do with the fact that you are every single one. Be careful how you behave in this world, because you will reincarnate, you know? You will. And even if you don't believe in that, that's fine. But the day that you're dying and you can't take all of your money and all of your power with you, I hope that you can die peacefully. And I hope that you can say, my life was worth it. And I hope that you can say, I did the best I could to help. These documentaries don't come to people on accident, I don't think. You know, your dad just watched the documentary about Veducated, and now he's a vegan. And that's after him watching it. And he's been going at it for a week, and we've been supporting him. And I love to cook, you know that. So I've been doing, like, double meals. And I'm proud of him for doing it. You know, I wish I could do it, but I did an amazing meatloaf today that I can't set in taste. But these documentaries, we're in the technology age. All of the information that's coming to you, you know, pick and choose. What are the things that you're passionate about? What are the things that you want to see change in this world? You know, like Michael Bernard Beckwith said, how do we wake up every single morning and we put on these ridiculously small goals in our life? You know, don't do small goals. Do something big. Like, I want to end starvation in the world every single day. I want to end the violence of women every single day, which, by the way, every 30 seconds, like, a woman is abused, you know, it's insanity, or married, actually, every 30 seconds. You know, if more women were educated, then their children have 50% more chance to live past the age of 5, like, little things, you know, like that. 50% of under 15-year-olds get sexually assaulted. 50% of under 15-year-olds get sexually assaulted. All of those data, we have all of this data, all of these statistics, all of this stuff, yet what are we doing about it? I know there's stuff that's being done. You know, one thing that I want to talk about today that's very important is the Peace Alliance. You know, we had the Peace Alliance reach out to us again, and we really need to form a group, especially here in Arizona. We're going to form one right here. There's groups throughout the nation. But I need a strong group here in Arizona. And the beautiful part about this Peace Alliance is that you actually are making change through advocacy and government involvement. So you're actually lobbying for peace. You know, the gentleman that we were on the conference call last month, and I'm sorry, I forgot his name, the things that he's doing for peace, like, he literally is taken into villages in underdeveloped countries, and he creates peace programs for them, so they can actually start working together from the bottom up instead of from the top, leadership to the bottom, which I think is the best way to go. I think if you start from the bottom, the people that are actually living it, that's, you know, every corporation fails because they got so big, and then it's from the top to the bottom. You have to always go from the bottom to the top, the real things that matter. And he's doing these amazing projects to actually change all that stuff, you know. So we need 4 to 5 really good people that are interested in getting involved with the Peace Alliance and get involved with the advocacy and government issues, and it's not a very time consuming. You know, it's one conference call a month, and then whatever goals we have, it's manageable. It's not something that's very different. There's a lot of different things that all of us can get involved in, and we can't just keep speaking about it. So I want you all to private message me. You can find me on Facebook or tweet us. We want you guys involved because these are the things that need to start changing. You know, we can no longer be a society that just puts it behind us and who cares what happens, because it affects us. We are all one. You know, that little girl that's being abused right now in Egypt or India or Afghanistan is me. It is me, because that little girl, I cannot take that out of my subconscious anymore. I just can't. And all of these women that were portrayed on Girl Rising, thank God, they were all like badasses. You know, they overcame obstacles. And yes, things are getting better. Don't get me wrong. Otherwise, this documentary wouldn't exist, where women were actually, you know, coming up. Even in Afghanistan, they said that now more and more women are actually going to school without the, because there, if you went to school, they'll shoot you, like literally, as a woman.
Taliban.
Yes, the Taliban does that. And who the hell is a Taliban? I have no idea. You know, that's another whole other discussion. Whatever, I don't even want to put names or words on this, but literally, if you went to school, they'll shoot you, you'll die. You can't, that's the religion, whatever it is. I don't know what kind of religion would a God say that a woman is less than a man, because without a woman, there is no man, and without a man, there is no woman. So I don't understand any of that, but I'm not going to try to make sense into them. What I'm trying to do is just get the core group of my badasses in these underdeveloped countries and rise them up. And these documentaries are what changing things, because we're putting them out, we're showing their stories, like Wadley, 8 years old, who said, hey, I'm going to say the bad word, fuck it. You're not going to hold me back. You don't want me to go to school, I'm going to come every day. And guess what? Your school is outdoors. You can't even kick me out. I'll go stand inside, and what are you going to say? And that's what she did. 8 years old. You should have seen her face. She was just the most beautiful little girl. Just, you know, I'm going to get an education. Because you know what she really liked to read? Isaac Neuhauer.
Isaac.
What's
Newton?
Yeah, actually Newton. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's what
she's
she
a smart 8-year-old.
Yeah.
I can't even.
I was like, to
that.
Be that 8-year-old and to stand up, how does it take? Would it, you know, and her parents were just humble people, you know. There was a fire inside her. It's almost like,
oh,
God makes no mistakes. He made you perfectly to do something in this world, you know. It's like, it was, this documentary really just shook me, and it just showed me, not only stop complaining and being a bitch ass about your problem, but the number one thing is take action. There are a lot of things that we can do to save this world. And a lot of times we're like, well, let me just fix our starvation. No, it's all of these benefits. If we could just get women educated in underdeveloped countries, especially, if we could get the women to rise here in America and to see that because of their leadership, we can actually transform a society and a world, and then to get that to spread into the underdeveloped countries. Can you imagine that? I just had this vision in my eyes. I was just like, bam, that's the answer to everything. There, you want world peace? Let's go. You know?
Yeah.
Or what? I mean, what else could we do?
No, yeah, exactly.
So what do you think about all this? I mean, overall, it's not a Debbie Downer, because all of these had great stories. The reason that I started crying because it's just like, I can't believe it. You know, I've always been a little crybaby and just cry over stuff, you know. I can't watch any movie. I was crying. We were watching that other movie the other day, and I was crying. It was supposed to be a love story, and so
yeah, I probably got my emotionless feelings from you, Mom.
Emotionless?
No, I'm so emotional too.
Aw, that's so
dog. I didn't mean to say like that.
He's emotional.
I guess it's just intuition. I don't know. Stop it, Mom. Stop.
Well, I hope that I inspired you to watch this documentary, because I know you didn't watch it with me yet.
Yeah. I don't know.
And I can tell you guys that although it is very sad, again, there are some great stories in there about women that are really, you know, those are to me the stories of like the Rosa Parks of our days, and there's so many women that will never be told their story, and they're sitting in the neighborhoods of Compton or of, you know, the slums in Detroit, Michigan, or even in the worst places in New York or in LA. How many people have we met that completely look lost, and yet when you finally find some kind of light to guide you, or perhaps there's a person that actually takes the time to tell you how amazing you are. That could be the thing that sparks your complete life to change, you know? There's just so much that we are unaware of, that we go throughout the day, even going to the grocery store, that we don't see the human beings that are around us, that, you know, they're just doing their thing, trying to freaking make it happen for themselves, just the way all of us are. But where does compassion come into play? Where do we actually start saying, hey, it's time to do something about this, you know? It's time. You know, I feel like here in the United States, at least, we have, to a point, we do have the freedom of speech where we could say where we are. If these women even unveil their eyes in some of these countries, they'll die. If these women even speak for the truth, they will be murdered. And that, to me, how could that be? That's when I really start going into God and saying, God, why would you create something like that? Why? Why? Why does this need to happen? Why? Just so I could bring my passion out? That doesn't seem fair. That doesn't seem fair. So I don't know the answer to that. And I don't know if I'll ever know the answer. But I think it's just people's different evolution, I guess. And I'm okay and I accept it, because when you accept things, then you're able to transcend them. So I accept the fact that our world is fucked up in some areas, but I also accept the fact that our world is amazing in some areas. And the areas that I see as completely, you know, deteriorated, I take the challenge in helping and being part of the solution, not part of the problem. And I think all of us could take a stand and say that every single day. Because if you know who you truly are, I want is to be able to go to all those people out there in undeveloped countries and say, do you know who you are? You are a child of God. You are an amazing miracle. And you did not come into this world to simply die and suffer like you're not important. Whether you die at 2 or 3 or 5 or 87, you are important and you matter. And if we could just get that out, I think this whole world could change. And I need to start believing that about myself more. Every single moment, you know? When every time I have a bad thought about me, see, because the change doesn't happen out there. The change happens in here. If I change myself, the rest will be okay, right? Because if I change myself and I'm at peace with myself, then I could have a platform like this to talk about it. Or I could do other things to help, right? But if I don't love myself and I don't stop being at war with myself, I will always be blocked. And nothing will change. I'm sorry that I took all the time this time. This documentary really changed my life. And there's a lot of stuff that I'm going to be doing with this. I've been researching a lot of the charities and foundations that actually help for this cause, to find some credible ones. And as I'm getting ready to launch my project, because I've really been focused on marketing and my project that's going to be released here in the next couple of weeks, which I'm so excited about. I just feel like I'm so blessed to have God put all these different puzzle pieces together for me so that I could truly find the things that I'm passionate about. Yes, I struggle every day with doubt and fear and, you know, just thinking, what the hell are you going to do wrong? Are you really going to do this? But in the end, there's a bigger driving force, and it's maybe the eyes of these women that I saw. It's maybe the eyes of other people that I've seen through suffering, that it doesn't need to happen. We can all just live a really good life, damn it. Everybody just love yourself and do you. Boo-boo.
Right on, Mom.
That was a very deep breath. I'm sorry. That was very deep, huh?
No, yeah. It should be total.
Well, I hope that I didn't bum any of you guys, but this shit is happening, so don't, like, put it behind your neck.
You need to get attached to it, awesome.
No, I don't get attached to it. I'm driven, and it's awesome. And we don't have any more time again.
Guys, have a fantastic day week with your lovers. Happy Valentine's Day. And
yeah,
just
rock on.
Rock on.
Rock on, dudes. Happy V-Day. Love you all. Bye-bye.